Now, the question is, where do you put your value? On achieving things in this life or achieving things in the next life? You see, there's really two gods. There's you and there's God. And you got to choose one of those gods. You know what I'm saying? You got to choose who you're following. Because there's a real tendency in life to follow our own dreams, our own wishes, our own desires. But God wants us to follow him. Amen? And so we're going to talk about that today. But that scripture is our key scripture. So God is letting us know through the prophet Daniel, he's letting us know that there is a choice to be made, that you can be, by your choice, you can be like the firmament or you can be a star. In other words, there are rewards in heaven. And not only are we to want them and desire them, we're to go after them. Matter of fact, Jesus encouraged us to do so. He said, you know, don't put your treasure here where moth and rust and everything get to it, but put your treasure. He's saying go after the treasure, but he's telling you to go after it in faith. Amen? We go after our treasure in faith by believing Jesus. Me up here preaching, I mean, I know you guys know this. I know you know that I was fairly successful in telecommunications. I was a director of network operations. I flew over the world, lots of people working for me, all that kind of stuff, hiring and firing, all that stuff, millions of dollars worth of stock, all that kind of stuff, and yet I wasn't fulfilling the will of God. And so God called me up. God called me and said, and put a hunger in my heart to enter into ministry. And so I put that past behind me, and we entered into ministry. We sold our house. We're renting a small little house now. We put down everything in our life so that we could follow after Jesus. Because we had an opportunity to continue. And I could have continued that business, but it wasn't my calling. And I realized I wasn't getting fulfilled in what I was doing. I wasn't doing what I was meant to do. My great-grandfather was a pastor. My great-grandfather was a pastor. And I'm called to pastor. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's called to full-time ministry, but it does mean that we all have a choice of who we live for. Do we live for ourselves? There's a gospel out in the world today that's all about you living for you. And they wrap it up in Jesus, but it's all about you living for you. And it's all about you getting your stuff. And you're going to get stuff. And God wants to bless you. And God wants you to prosper. And he does. But not so that you can expend it upon your own selves. It's all about serving him. This life is all about walking a walk of faith for Christ. It's all about believing in the unseen and trusting in that which you cannot hold in your hand so that you might see the glory of God. Faith is so mysterious that even the angels look at us and wonder how we know what we know and how we follow after Jesus. With all the confusion in the world, with all the different things pulling on us, with advertising being honed so sharply into the human psyche that it pulls at us in so many levels, through lust, through greed, through so many things, and they're good at it, and they throw images up all the time, and they're trying to get your attention. They're trying to get you to live for you and not live for God. Now, we still have to pay our bills. We still have to go to sleep at night. We still have to eat. And God will supply all our needs. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added to you. See, I'm not going after the things. I'm seeking him, and the things are there. And if there's fewer of them, then I'll eat less that month. You know what I mean? If there's more of them, I'll eat more. But I will be content in whatever place I find myself. Why? Because I know that I'm serving God. Life is a test. People say, am I being tested by God? And I said, are you breathing? Because if you're breathing, you're being tested. But there is an end to the test. There's a time when you can do no more. There's a time when you've come up to the very end of what you can do. And there's a place where you step into that supernatural realm. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about why we don't see a movement in the United States right now. I want to talk about laying down things to go after where God has told you to go. I want to tell you there's a cost involved. There's a gospel out there that tells you everything gets better if you follow Jesus. That's not my experience. And I applaud you if that's yours and you're truly doing it. It's not mine. Things get tough. These Hope for the Homeless young men here, things are tough. And when they follow Jesus, they get in the house, they realize it ain't getting easier sometimes. Sometimes it's even harder, but they know they're doing the right thing, going in the right direction. So proud of you guys. So proud of you guys for being involved in that. So I have to ask myself this question. Grace and truth are God's gift to us, but is there a cost? Yes, of course. So today's message is about bearing your cross. And for me, it's watching my grandchildren move away this week and knowing that I can't follow them, knowing that I'm not called there, knowing that I'm called here. All seven of my beautiful grandchildren will be in Alabama, 8 minutes apart from each other, and I will be here serving God for the rest of my days because this is where God has put me. This is my field. This is my place. And it's tough, and many of you have felt that same pain as children. I know the Beesons had children move to Finland, and you know, our kids move wherever they may go, but we follow Jesus where he has placed us and where he has put us. And I want to tell you something, it's not always easy, is it? There is a cost to following Jesus. Every fiber in my personal life wants to just sell everything, go move out there and kill every mosquito in Alabama. That's kind of where my life is, you know? But I am not called there, and I will not be going there. I'll visit there every summer. That's my vacation place now, but it's not my calling. And it says this in A, what did Jesus mean when he asked us to take up our cross? What does that look like? What is meant by taking up your cross daily? Like every day, Jesus is asking us to take our cross. And why did Jesus talk about hating your own family? Did he really want me to hate my family? No, of course not. But we'll talk about that. Our first scripture is taking up your cross and following Jesus. In Matthew 16, 24, 27 says this, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does it mean, losing your life? It means you may have wants and desires that you have to lay down so that you can follow Jesus, that you can do what he says. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. The cross represents our devotion and surrender to God's will in our lives, even against our own desires and wishes. When I was growing up, I had the same dreams everyone else did. I was a famous motorcycle race driver. I was a rock and roll star. People were looking at me. Except I was afraid to speak in front of people. You all have this ego that is enthroned within our heart, and it doesn't go away easily. It is very stubborn ego, and just when you think you've chucked it out, here it comes once again, slipping back into your life. And I find this in my life all the time. But there's something that C.H. Spurgeon said, and I love this. It says that there is no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers here below. I don't know if they got the, it wasn't really in red, so it, but let me say that again. There are no crown bearers in heaven that were not cross bearers here below. There can only be one Lord. And that's why Jesus is saying you have to carry your cross. And I'm telling you, it's not easy to do. Sometimes you're forced into financial situations and challenges that you never expected. You're like, if this is God's will, shouldn't it be easy for me to do what he's called me to? Shouldn't it just be like I just walk through the door and everything's set up? Far from the truth. When you follow God, there will always be challenges. And when Abram came in and came from Haran into the promised land, expecting God's blessing of this land, what he found was a drought and a famine. Now here God had promised him, called him into this place. When he got there with all his flocks, all his riches, everything that he had, when he arrived, there was a famine in the land, the Bible says. Wait a minute, God called me. Shouldn't there have been plenty of grass and water? No. Sometimes it's in the struggle that God gets the glory. It's when he stretches our faith just a little bit farther. If you watch Jesus, he'll talk to people and he'll say, what is it that you desire? He's stretching their faith. When he talked to that Syrophoenician woman, he said to her, he said, it's not right that I give the bread of the children, right, to the dogs, meaning the Gentiles. And she was like, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. And Jesus was amazed. He stood back and he said, because of your faith, let it be done unto you as you believe. And she went and her daughter was healed. That's the power of God. He's going to take us and stretch us a little bit farther than we feel comfortable. And that's okay. Because he never challenges us more than we can handle. Amen? It's only in America that God's nothing but a blessing, that everything in life happens well, that we're supposed to be all millionaires. You're all supposed to have homes that are 10,000 square feet. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you there yet? Bearing your cross daily, in Luke 9:23-27, it says this, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. See that word daily? Daily and follow me. Look at that word daily. You see, here's the thing. We think we've done it. We've laid down something. We gave a great offering at church. We sold some of our possessions. We gave our money to the poor. We think we're done. You're not done. It's daily. It's daily. And the reason we don't see the supernatural working in America like we want to is because we're not willing to carry our cross daily. We're more interested in being comfortable. We're more interested in having Christian as a side hobby. Christianity is your entire life. And that's what Jesus is trying to get through to us. And he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, I'm saying it again, and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. These are scriptures that used to grip me as a new believer. It goes on to verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God, speaking of his transformation up on the mountain. I mean, it's amazing what Christ was showing them. Living for Jesus means taking up your cross on a daily basis, and you just continuously are laying down your own life. And that's tough to do. We need to live for Jesus and die to our own ambitions. In Luke, Jesus says this. He says, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, does he really want us to, I mean, that's what it says. Does he really want us to hate our family? Is that what he's asking? Think about what he says here. He goes on to say, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What he's saying is this, is we want to serve him in the comfort of our chosen surroundings. We want to pick our priorities. And what he's saying is, you cannot make me priority two in your life. I have to be the first priority, even over your own family. And that's tough. That's really tough. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, where he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he had laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. So, you know, we get mocked. if we don't finish what we started. Oh, yeah, he said he was a Christian, but look at him now. He's on drugs. He's doing everything he used to do. See, they mock us because we proclaim something greater, and then we failed to bear our cross. Verse 30 says, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to encounter another king in war will not sit down and first deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Wow. Denounce everything, cannot be my disciple. Now, these are the verses when I was first saved, captured my soul. I want to tell you a little story about what happened to me. So when I first got saved, I had that amazing encounter with that being and that dream and then the being in my room. And so I knew God was real. I absolutely knew God was real. But then I went to church. And because I had never had any training in the Bible, I just knew God was real. This was his word. Everything in it was true. I just believed it. Day one. Started working in the gifts. Started operating. People said, yeah, you can prophesy. I wasn't so great at that. But I did words of knowledge really good. And I did a number of other things. And I started seeing people give their lives to Jesus. And I remember going up to my friends and saying, I was a young Christian. I just said to them, I said, I can't be your friends anymore. I can't do what you do. I can't go smoke weed, drink beer, run around through the streets. You know, I can't do that anymore. My friends were like, you're crazy, dude. You've been with us all your life. And I said, I can't run the way I used to run. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I turned my back on my friends and I left them. And I didn't go back until I matured in Christ for a while and knew that I didn't quite have to do it that way. But what it did do was it set something in my life. I made a choice to lay down my old life and to follow Jesus at any cost. And back then, man, we were excited for Jesus. Oh, I mean, like, excited like you can't believe. We were preaching out on the streets. We were witnessing. I was yelling out of my car everywhere we went. We'd meet anybody, we'd witness to them. It just never stopped. We were just always pushing ourselves in the Spirit, amen? And I'd get up with a megaphone and preach. Not a lot of people got saved. I was a horrible preacher. But, you know, still, I was up there sharing my testimony and telling them. And maybe somebody got blessed by it. But it wasn't like... But we were so excited that it was contagious. Our excitement was contagious in Christ. And people just started joining the church. Just started joining and joining the church. And if it wasn't for the moral corruption that was in the church would have done really great and had gone really big. But unfortunately, there was an error with one of the leaders and it didn't turn out so well. But we were excited and Jesus moved wonderfully. And we saw amazing miracles, amazing things take place. So the question is, how sold out are you? How much are you committed to Jesus? You few in here are committed more than most of all Americans because you come to church. But I don't want to stop there. How committed are you? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to really put everything down to follow Jesus? And don't do it just once. Do it on a daily basis. That's the part that gets you. Because it's like, I can do it once. I can do this big, grandiose thing. I remember I gave, the Lord told me I had a really expensive dive watch. It was good down to 3,300 meters. And it was like super cool watch. And I remember the Lord told me one day, throw it in the offering. And I'm like, man, that's my most prized possession. But the Lord was challenging me in my heart. And I said, okay, but they won't even know what it is. They won't even know how valuable. They didn't. They had no idea what I threw in there. But I threw it in not because they would appreciate it, but because God appreciated the sacrifice. It was a sweet savor in his nostrils. He knew that I was laying something down that meant a lot to me. And then next week, he asked something else. And the following week, I was given a trip to Hawaii. I'm telling you this not for, I'll probably lose all my rewards in heaven. I'm telling you this as an example. And I gave the money for the tickets going to Hawaii and put them in the offering plate. Why? Because I was sold out to Jesus. All I wanted was to serve him. Now, you remember, I had that angel standing, I guess it was an angel, standing in my room in all his glory, scaring the absolute daylights out of me. I absolutely never felt fear like that in my life before that or since. It was absolutely humbling, but I knew that God was real, and I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. And I have never turned from the Lord since then. There's been times where I've waned in my commitment, but I've always followed Jesus. Luke 9:62 says this, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Once you've begun, there's no turning back. Once you've made Jesus Lord, there's no going back. There's nowhere to go but forward in him, amen? And to follow him regardless of the cost. Now, some of you are wondering, how is Pastor applying this now? I'm applying this to whatever God's putting in your heart. I've got men in here who are starting ministries, women in here who are starting ministries, and I want to support them. If you got something in your heart, I want to support you. Don't wait for the right day. Today is the right day. Look and see what God would have you to do. Mark and Mitzi are doing Chica's So Awesome and Family. We have ability to start 3 home groups right now. I'm looking for leaders to step into that. This is your chance. What are you waiting for? If you're trained, if you're ready to go, let's go. Let's go build the kingdom of God. Amen? Last verse. Jesus never gives a cross to us that we're not able to bear. And I love this. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also, what? Provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. So as we go through life, even the calling on our life, which could be a temptation, he always gives us a way of escape, a way to go and get his provision for that calling. Amen? God never calls if he doesn't have the provision ready for you. See, with every calling comes the provision, but you don't see the provision until you accept the calling. And that's the thing. We want to see the provision first. God's saying, I don't work that way. Faith don't work that way. Faith is believing in things that can't be seen. You got to accept the calling first and then trust God for the provision. Amen? God is faithful to give us strength to do all that he's asked. Where God calls, he provides. Many of you have been called to take a step more. Not every one of you, but many of you have been been asked to take a step forward, to step into what God has for you in this season. I want to help you. I want to assist you. My job is not to go do the ministry. My job is to equip those who are called to the ministry. You are the ministers. I'm just someone here to support you, equip you. I've helped people start ministries that they're called in their heart to do. I will continue to do that because that's how the kingdom is grown. The Lord told me, he said, if you try to become a success, you'll fail. But if you help others become a success, in that you will find your success. Does that make sense? We're always trying to figure out how we're going to succeed. God wants us to focus on others because our calling is to help other people succeed. Amen? And in that, we succeed. If I sit here and help Frank over here do whatever God's called him to do in this season, and he's a success, that's my success too because I believed in it. I trusted in it even before I saw it. If I help Mike here start healing God's way, or over here if I help Richard and Karen, the Father's heart, they succeed and they touch hearts, that's my success too. You see what I'm saying? When you give your funds into this church and I help these ministries go out into the world to do what they're called to do, that's your success. Do you get it? The great thing is God's blessings multiply just like the fish. Watch this. I want you just for a moment to do this. I do this continuous people. I want you to just say a prayer right now, real fast with me to bless everyone in the room. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I bless everyone in this room. Amen. How many blessings did you give? How many blessings did you receive? That's the way the kingdom works. It's not a matter of 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 = 1,000,000. It's like this. It's like an explosion. And when we get this, when we capture this in our heart, it's going to spread. There's revival coming. I asked the Lord, as I laid down my life in this season, I asked the Lord, what is it that you want? And he says, I want a movement among the local churches in this area. I said, let's do it, Lord. I want an awakening. I want another Jesus people movement. I want to see people excited, but I know we can't just do church the same old, same old. We can't just have a Bless Me Club and go in there to be tickled and made to feel good about ourselves. We got to get out and we got to carry our cross daily, and we're going to see revival in this land. We got great pastors, great churches, great things, and God's about to do something special. And we need to celebrate those gifts in our midst, like Clayton and others who are laying down their lives for Jesus every single day. We need to join them. We need to be a part of it. We need to support it. We need to get behind it, because that is what God is doing. You guys can put Hillsong on your radios at home if you want to sit there and worship, but lay your life down and do the ministry. Do what you've been called to do. Each of you have different gifts. Each of you are called in different ways. But God has something amazing to do in your life. And it's time to sit there and dream big. It's time to stop with the small dreams and say, oh, and you know what? We're really good at disqualifying ourselves, right? Well, Pastor David is so much better than I am something. Oh, really? You didn't know me before. And or Ed here can do something I can't do. Let Ed do it. No, no, no. You pick up your cross. I don't know what you're called to do, but you pick up your cross and you do it. And you know this, that I'm behind you 100%. And when I come back helping my children to move where God has called them, I'm going to come back on fire, ready to go 7 days a week. And I'm going to be everywhere and anywhere I can go. And if you want a ministry opportunity, you're going to have to speak up and say, I want to do it, because I'm not waiting. I'm going to go out there. I want to see revival come in this land. And I've played church for 30 years. I'm 40 years. I'm ready for a revival. How many of you really want a revival from God? How many of you really want to see God do something? How many are willing to bear their cross weekly? How many of you are really, truly willing to lay it all down to see God move in our midst, in our day, in our hour? I want to see a movement that goes around the world. I want to see God light us on fire and we just burn everywhere we go. I like John Wesley. He used to say, people just come to see me light myself on fire and burn in front of them. I love that. We're right on the edge of something great. Can you feel it? Can you see it? See, it takes faith. Without faith, it'll never come to pass. Takes faith. Takes faith. But we're right there. We're right there. The Lord told me, we're right there. I want it so badly that I don't care the cost. The cost doesn't even come into it. To me, it's just like, what do you want me to do now, Lord? What's next? What's today? What's this hour? What do you want me to say to this stranger? What do you want to say to this guy knocking on my door? That's what I'm looking for. Man, join us. It's time to get radical. It's time to be a Jesus freak. It's time to leak Jesus everywhere we go. Yes. People come to my door, I leak all over them. They probably don't even know what happened. They're like, God, give me a towel. Seriously. Stop playing Christianity. Let's go do it. Stop being afraid of rejection. Stop being afraid of someone saying, oh, you're one of those. Yeah, I am. You absolutely better believe it. I'm one of those. I'm a Jesus freak. And I'm going to pronounce his name and glorify his name everywhere I go, because God is in our midst. I have seen miracles, and I do not lie. I have seen things happen. I've seen legs grow. I've seen so many things take place. I want to see it out there. Amen? Praise God. Prayer team, come on up. We're going to dismiss now. But this is the message I want to leave with you. That when I come back from my little vacation, first major vacation of the year for me, when I come back, I'm coming back to light it on fire. Amen? I'm coming back to get it going. I'm coming back to see God move in a great way. We're going to stir up the churches in the area. We're going to support them, help them, love them. We're going to see revival. Revival isn't about one church being successful. Revival is when all the churches are successful. Amen? We're going to see a movement of God. We're going to see Jesus move. It doesn't take a big congregation. It takes a committed congregation. I see a lot of big churches that do little, and I see little churches that do much. It's time to do much. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Sorry. I'm excited. I have not been this excited since I was screaming Jesus out of my window. And by the way, I'm going around screaming Jesus now, so get ready. Your pastor's out there going like, oh, God. And I'm like, get ready, because you haven't seen nothing yet. I'm just starting to catch on fire. Wait till I really get on fire. Bow your heads. I want you to think about where your life is right now. I want you to think about who you are. And I want you to think about how many times you didn't follow that still, quiet voice in your heart. I don't want you to be in guilt or condemnation. I want you to be determined to hear that voice going forward and to obey it wherever it leads. If it leads here, great. If it leads somewhere else, I respect that as well. But I want to say, obey the Lord. You will never be put to shame. So, Father, I just pray over this congregation right now that you light them on fire, God, that you set them on fire, Father, that you use these amazing vessels that you have brought here for such a time as this to go out and to light the world on fire. God, I pray that you give them a spirit of boldness, that you put them on fire, God, and that when they go out, Father, they'll burn for your glory. They will not fear man. They will not fear what man will say or what man will think, but they will do your will. They will step out and perform miracles, God. They will step out and walk where you tell them to walk, even if it's on water. Because they are the children of the Most High God. And this is not a religion. This is not just some good time. This is the kingdom of God. And it deserves it. So, Lord, I repent for this, for my life, and for everyone here that's repenting, Lord. We repent unto you for what we've made of it. And we ask that you turn us on the fire, God, that you get us back to where we were when we had our first love. Father, that we would remember when we shouted out the windows, that we'll repent that we weren't there, and that we'll return and do it once again. And God, we ask, God, that you would confirm your word with signs and wonders and miracles, however you desire, God. We are up for what you want to do. We are the clan of Jesus freaks here, Lord. We are those who will not bow down to this world narrative that says Jesus was a good teacher. If he's a good teacher alone, I don't want to follow him. He's the Son of the living God. He came and died for my sins, and he rose again on the third day, and at least 10 men and many, many more signed their testimony of this with their own blood. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so are these. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're sitting there going, well, I'm just not sure, I want you to look into your heart right now, hear the words that I've said, hear the challenge set before you, and I want you to get off that fence and make a decision. I'm going to say a prayer in a moment, and I want to tell you the Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day God has ordained for you. I want you to receive this in your heart. I want you to make a commitment. And this ain't no sissy commitment. This is a commitment all the way. It's a commitment of bearing your cross and going after the true and living God. This isn't a religion created by man, but this is God invading earth with the plan of salvation. If that's you today, I want you to say this prayer with me with all your heart. Everyone say it with me. Heavenly Father, I am yours. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for being lukewarm. I repent now. And I ask that Jesus Christ be the Lord and Savior of my life. And that he baptize me with fire and send me out for his glory. I thank you for the spirit of boldness, that I will be bold and will not fear man. And I thank you now for your love and your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said this for the first time or made a significant recommitment to the Lord, in the count of ten, count of three, I want you to raise your hand up. Don't wait till ten. Three. One, two, three. Let me see those hands go up. Let me see those hands go up. I see him. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Stand up with me as I dismiss. I love you guys. I'll be back in a short time. Your amazing pastors will be filling in for the preaching. It's going to be better than mine. Get ready. Come in for a great message. It's going to be awesome. God is moving today. Father, I ask you, Father, to just allow your spirit of fire to be on every single person in this place. We ask for your blessing upon them, God. We ask for your divine protection. But Lord, send them out. Send them out among the wolves, Father, for they are well able to overcome. Send them out, Father. We don't need safety. We need Jesus on fire. Father, I pray that you'd protect each and every one, Father, that your angels have charge over them, that they shall not be in fear of anything, but they shall speak the word boldly, and you will confirm it, God. I thank you now for these amazing ministers of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a touch of fire, come up to our prayer team. Until next week, God bless you and God keep you.